I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go. Father
God, I am from the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Obuobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Let the church say. Let's pray before we sit down. Amen. I want to read a verse. It's from the book of Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 16. The Bible says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Amen. Amen. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. How many could use some strength? Some strength, inner strength. You know, as you can see, the Bible is saying that he will strengthen you with might. You know, that you will be capable. Hallelujah. That you will be able. Amen. That you will be mighty. Amen. On the inside, isn't it? Yes. By his spirit in the inner man. Do you see what I'm saying? A lot of people strengthen themselves, but in the outer man. You get it? So you see a lot of people running around the block. It's great, but the strength is on the outer man, isn't it? Some people build muscles, you know. And but you see that most of the things that really come at us and the things that get us, the things that we succumb to and the things that break us, are usually not attacking us on the outer man. Do you see what I'm saying? For these days, there's not a whole lot of that. You see, there's not a whole lot of fist fighting. When is the last time you saw, you know, two people, you know, getting it on like that? You're going to need pay-per-view or something like that to see these things these days. Are you getting it? But I dare say that a lot of people are still broken inside. A lot of people are lost and down on the inside. The attacks they feel, the weakness they feel, is on the inside. The part of you which the Bible describes as the inner man. The inner you, the part of you that is not visible, you see. And when that part of you is under attack, then it causes the rest of you to break down. And some people are good at carrying the outer man. You carry your outer man so well that you have disguised the brokenness of the inner man. Do you see what I'm saying? So no one can easily tell by looking at you, you know. But if you're experienced, you can tell. Sometimes when you see people trying so hard to make the outer man shine, it is evidence of a broken inner man. Do you see what I'm saying? When people are not something, they try really hard to be that thing. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. Sometimes it's very easy to tell. You can tell when a man or someone who was born a man is becoming a woman. It's very easy because you see that there's a lot of effort. You get it? It's a bit extremely womanly. You get it? Same thing when you have someone who was born a woman trying to be a man. You can tell quite easily. They don't have to tell you anything, but you can feel the effort. You know, there's a lot of extra push. Do you get it? So sometimes we see people who get really loud, sometimes loud in the way they dress, loud in the way they present, loud in the way they speak, you know, unnecessarily loud. It is often a cover up, you know, so that you can you can look at what I am doing and not see me. Do you see what I'm saying? You see, because if I can draw attention to what I'm doing, then you don't really look at me. You look at what I'm doing. Do you understand? But the Bible says all things are naked and open before the eyes of the one with whom we have to do. You can't hide from God. Do you see what I'm saying? You can hide from me. You can hide from your friend. You can hide things from people, but you can't hide from God. God sees you as you are. God knows it as it is. God knows exactly how it is with you and what is going on with you. Hallelujah. Amen. And so this morning, I want to lead you in a prayer for the inner man. Amen. Strength in the inner man. Hallelujah. Strength where it matters most. Strength where no one can really see it. Do you understand? I want you to be strong on the inside, even if you look weak on the outside. You know, it doesn't really matter. Honestly, you will not need your outer strength much. Do you get it? Where I grew up, occasionally you even get to push a car. It means some use for your outer strength. You get it? But these days, even the cars are not made to be pushed. You get it? That's those days, the vehicles were mostly standard, you know, shift cars. And those cars have a thing about them where you can, if it won't start, you can just, you know, get it going and kind of tease it a little bit. And you trick it to start. Do you understand? Yeah. But these days, you don't find those kinds of cars around. So what are you going to do with all that outer strength? Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah, we used to sweep the yard manually, you know. Now the guy comes with a blower and he's blowing. So your outer strength does not have much use. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But your inner strength, that's what you're going to need to fight against attacks. Spiritual attacks. Demonic attacks. Attacks on your mind. Attacks on your will. Attacks on your emotions. Depression. You see what I'm saying? Depression. Unhappiness. Whose roots you can't really trace. You can't understand why you're not happy. You just are not happy. That you know. But you can't really reverse into the cause. Are you hearing what I'm saying? God wants to help us. And I believe that he will. And the scripture says that he would grant you. God will grant you according to the riches of his glory. God is rich enough in power and glory to allow you to be strong in the inner man. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. To be able to say no to temptation. Amen. To be able to say no to alcohol. To say no to fornication. Yeah. To say no to all the things that bring you down spiritually. Right. God will do it. Not according to your capacity to go through. But according to the riches of his glory. Hallelujah. He will strengthen you with might in the inner man. Can I have an amen? Amen? So lift up your hands to the Lord right now. And pray for strength in your inner man. Just ask God for strength. Strength in your inner man in the name of Jesus. Ask God to give you strength. Say, Lord, strengthen me on the inside. Strengthen me on the inside. Strengthen me. Strengthen me, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Makabolo mushata balababa. Bikolo setele mekandare balababa mashandari alababa. Mikodo setele mekendere bebe shandari alababa. Bikolo mushandari alababa. Mikolo musetere amalama musetere alababa. Ebolo shendere ala mamose ke fere 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 f Jesus. Now, everybody here knows what area in your life that you often lose the battle. Do you see what I'm saying? Everybody knows which particular battles are not easy for you to overcome. The Bible calls it the sin that easily besets us. Do you see what I'm saying? The sin that easily besets you. The sin that easily makes you trip. And the thing that easily works against you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. And everybody knows which area. And you don't like it. You know what I mean? You don't like it. But you find yourself, anytime this particular thing comes against you, you find yourself unable to put up a fight, you know, that is strong enough to make you have victory. So you always seem to lose that particular battle. It may be an area of your life, maybe something to do with your emotions. There are some of you who have absolutely no control over your temper. The only control you have over your temper is that no one will trigger it. You get it? So all the control over your temper depends on people you don't control. Do you understand? Yeah. So you wish that they will stop doing what they're doing so you don't have to get into that state. But how do you control what people do? You can't. The only person you control is you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? That's why you need to be strong. That's why you need to be strong on the inside, so that no matter what comes at you from the outside, you'll be able to say no. Hallelujah. So I know you know which area you need to talk to God about this morning. I want you to pray again and say, Lord, concerning this particular thing, give me victory over it. I claim victory over it in the name of Jesus. I claim victory over it in the name of Jesus. This particular area of my life, this particular area where I'm always found wanting, I'm always losing the battle in this area of my life, in the name of Jesus, I pray against it in the name of Jesus. Lift up your voice again and begin to pray in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, yes, Lord, Jesus. Father, we thank you for victory in Jesus' name. Devil, you will not defeat us anymore. Thank you, Lord, for inner strength. We receive it now in Jesus' name. And everybody says amen. Hallelujah. DJ will come and sing one more song for us, and you may be seated. Okay, DJ, sing us a song quickly. And
wow.
Right. Wow, amen. I am so glad I found a new life. Amen. Well, we thank God for this morning, and thank you, DJ, for that song. And today I want to preach for a short time. Amen. And last week I was sharing with you from this amazing book called Those Who Are Dangerous Sons. Right, and this book is part of a series of books on loyalty and disloyalty. And the entire series comprises the book Loyalty and Disloyalty. Actually, why don't I get the whole... All right. So I'm announcing to you that we'll close this service on Wednesday. All right. Because I have to get through all this before we close. Right. But it's the Loyalty and Disloyalty series of books that, you know, these are bestsellers. And our father, the bishop, is most known around the world for this one message that God gave to him. And the books keep increasing, you know, and now there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 of them. And there used to be only one. Then it became two. Then now it's gone all the way up to 9 of them. Those Who Are Ignorant. You know, this is a book about those who are ignorant. People who don't know enough, you know, and ignorance is always very costly, you know. That is why teaching is important. Amen. Teaching is important because a lot of problems are actually caused by ignorance. It's just because people don't know. Amen. And this is a book. This book says one of you is a devil. You get it? Yeah. Now, in case you don't know it, one of you is a devil is actually a quote from Jesus Christ. And he was speaking actually to his disciples. I mean, not the multitudes. I'm talking about the inner 12. And Jesus said unto them, he said to them, have I not chosen you? I have chosen you, but one of you is a devil. You know? So it's possible to have devils in church. And many times when you see confusion in churches, it's because devils have joined it. It's because some people have allowed themselves to be used by the devil. They actually represent him and represent his interests in the church. When you see confusion, that leads to a scattering of the church, a scattering of God's people, no more preaching, no more prayer, no more any of the things that brought blessing to people in the church. It's a sign that Satan has visited the place. Satan is the one who causes desolation to come to places. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Then there's another one on those who forget, because there are people who forget. They forget what has been done for them. They forget who has blessed them, who has helped them, who prayed for them, who visited them, who paid their way through college, you know, who maybe accommodated them, you know, who gave them some food when they were hungry, you know. So many things that people do for us. The truth is that you can't really go far in life without help. You get it? From the first day you are born, help is what you're going to need. Isn't it? That is why they have people in the labor wards who do so many things to help you when you arrive. Do you see what I'm saying? From the time you land, even the one through whom you came seems very helpless. They can't really help you. So you need other parties, third parties, you know, whom you do not know, you know, whom you have not paid, but who are committed to helping you live. If those people don't give you a chance, you're doomed. Do you understand? Yeah. So everyone is going to be helped at some point. And you must never forget those who help you. Amen. Another one is those who are proud. Can you see? Yeah, the Bible says pride goes before a fall. That means if you're standing at a stoplight and you see a car just going across the road called pride, you don't even have to look at the second car. It's called fall. Do you understand? Anytime you see pride, when you see people who are haughty and proud, people who feel big. Do you get it? People who are arrogant, people who feel bigger than themselves. You are looking at a balloon that is just going up and it's just going to explode. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's important that we read this book. This one is those who accuse you. Right, people who criticize and who bring accusations against good people, people who are trying to do good, those who pretend. Do you get it? I am sure that this is about fake people. If our president was to buy one of these books, I think this would be his first one. All right. Yes. Those who leave you is another one. And then, of course, loyalty and disloyalty, and then those who are dangerous sons. Amen. Amen. Right. So last week I shared with you from chapter 15, and I was sharing with you about why some sons find it difficult to honor fathers. Amen. Amen. Now, when I say sons, it's not a message for boys. Or men, for that matter, is a message for everyone, isn't it? Yes, it's just the way it is that, you know, women are included in men. Does that make sense? Yeah, women are included in men. So you have man, and then you have woo man or woo man, which means a type of man. You get it? So, right. So when we say man, you should know that you're also included. Amen? Amen. Can I have an amen from the ladies, please? All right. Don't tune out on me. It's too early in the message. You get it? And the message is only lasting for 15 minutes. And so don't. Right. Right. So we read that scripture last week about honoring fathers, honoring your father and mother, so that your days will be long upon the earth. Do you remember that? Right? And how that the scripture says your days will be long upon the earth and that it will be well with you. Tell somebody it will be well with me. I found it interesting when DJ said, won't they let this message go? You know, let them teach about something else. But this one. Hallelujah. Well, today I want to share with you briefly from chapter 4, 7 reasons why problems pass from fathers to sons. Right? 7 reasons why people tend to inherit the same problems their parents had. Amen. Now, how many have noticed, with some honesty, how many have noticed that as you grow up, you find yourself actually becoming like your parents? Well, in a good way or a bad way, it doesn't matter. Just how many have realized that? Yeah? Even your looks. How many are noticing that? That as you grow older, you are beginning to look like your mother or look like your father or look like both of them. Do you understand? Now, I want to say that that resemblance does not only happen in the physical, do you understand? But you find commonly that people will tend to repeat the same mistakes they grew up around. In fact, the very things they hated, you know, is those are the very things they themselves repeat. Do you get it? Very things they vow never to repeat. they find themselves walking in a path that gradually leads to that. Do you understand? And there are reasons for it. So I want to share a couple of those reasons with you, because that is all that time will allow. Amen. Now, number one reason why problems pass from fathers to sons is because, or problems, let me read it just as it is here. Problems pass from fathers to sons who murmur and criticize their fathers. Or who murmur and criticize. Problems pass from fathers to sons, or mothers to daughters, or mothers to sons. But problems pass on through the spirit of criticism and memory. Hallelujah. Now, I want to say that it is very easy to criticize your father. It is very easy to criticize your mother. It is very easy to point fingers at the people or the person who raised you and, you know, see what he did wrong or say what he did wrong or even publish what he did wrong. Do you understand? It's a very common thing that happens in life. But many people do not realize that that thing is actually a trick of the devil. It's a bait that the devil uses to draw people out into an arena where they lose control over what happens to them. Do you understand? Murmuring and complaining and criticizing exposes us to evil spirits. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, there's a verse over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse, let me just get to it right here. Hallelujah. Right. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. All right. Let's start from verse 9. It says, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Then it says, neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples, which means examples, right? Right? And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Verse 12. Therefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Yeah, this is a watch out verse. Do you understand? So it's saying that these things happen to them for examples, and they are written not for our criticism, do you see, but for our admonition. Do you understand? What happens to the life that is ahead of you is for your learning, is for your counsel, is for your advice. It's not for your criticism. Are you getting what I'm saying? See, a father belongs on a whole other level. Last week I was sharing with you that you can never catch up with your father, isn't it? Because when you become a father, he becomes a grandfather. When you take him up on that one, on that level also, he upgrades, isn't it? So your father just keeps upgrading as you keep trying to catch up, isn't it? And his upgrades actually depend on your effort. The harder you work to catch up, the more easily he upgrades. Are you getting what I'm saying? Yeah. And so you cannot catch up with your father. There is no point in trying to compete with your father. there's no point in trying to argue or trying to criticize your father or your mother, because that's just not your place. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. They are on one level and you are on another level. And no matter what they do, right or wrong, it's not your place to criticize, raise or lift up your tongue to criticize them. Because when you do that, you expose yourself to evil spirits. Well, we are reading here that as people murmured, you know, think of it. A murmur is not even something you hear. Do you understand? But you see that something someone said that no one else heard actually triggered an attack of evil spirits, and the destroyer visited them. Can you see that? Look at that verse again. He says, neither murmur ye. If they were shouting and the destroyer came, you would have said that it is the shout that attracted the destroyer, because the destroyer heard what they said. Do you understand? But this is murmuring. Murmuring is private talk. It's to criticize in a private way. Do you see? It's to express displeasure in a way that is not heard by others. Is it not the case? I mean, I'm trying to, you know, speak as much English as I can. Isn't it? When people are murmuring, they are usually not happy. Isn't it? Yes, they are not happy, but they do not want their unhappiness to register openly. And so they still go ahead to complain and to criticize and to murmur, but they do it quietly. But look at what a quiet murmur attracted. Which means, whereas others or humans may not be hearing you, the one who has the capacity to destroy actually hears you and is drawn to and attracted by your memory. Does it make sense? Yeah. Do you not sometimes wonder how flies get to know something? There's something here they can come and sit on. You cover your meat and everything and you think the fly didn't see it. But suddenly from somewhere, the flies start, especially around this time of the year. Yes. I saw a fly that was, you know, and I was even just wondering how clever they get to be, because I noticed that when I opened the door to my house, then this fly just comes around and he's just, it's like he's just having, just moving, you know. And this is the door, you know, and he just comes around like that and just, you know. And then the other thing I noticed is they are flying really low. You see, they don't come up. They just fly really low and just dance around. So when you open the door, and then they're in. Evil spirits are that sensitive to criticism. Are you getting what I'm saying? When you criticize your mother or criticize your father, you are operating out of your class. You have actually stepped out of your covering and stepped out of your protection. It is not your place to criticize your father or criticize your mother. Are you understanding what I'm saying? And when you do that, you expose yourself to the evil spirits that operate in darkness and which attack such people. Amen. Now, in the scripture, there is a very good example I'd like us to look at very quickly. Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12 and from verse 1. The Bible says, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. Do you understand? Yeah. It says Miriam Miriam and Aaron, right? Miriam and Aaron, they spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. Then if the Bible had left it right there, you and I would have been calling it a baseless or possibly a baseless accusation. Do you understand? Yes. But you see, in the Bible, God doesn't hide people's faults. Do you understand? God is not afraid of people's problems. He's not intimidated by anybody's faults. If you did it, God will talk about it. You know, yeah. Even if you're his favorite person, he would tell everybody what you did. He's an amazing God. It's a sign that he doesn't deal with people based on that. Do you understand? Yeah. So the Bible says they spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. Then it says, for he had married an Ethiopian woman, means it was a fact. Because it was true. Do you understand? Now, this right here is the thing that trips people. That many people feel that if it's a fact, it's justification for your criticism. Do you understand? That if what you're saying is true, then it's okay to say it. But what the Bible is teaching us is that the qualification for criticizing someone who is your mother or your father, or let me rephrase it, criticizing someone who is your mother or your father requires more than fact to qualify you to do such a thing. Does it make sense? That means there should be more to it than it being true. Are you getting what I'm saying? But that is true about everything else. Sometimes you're driving on the road and you see this other person driving his car, sometimes very recklessly. Do you see? And you can see that it's a fact. But why don't you stop them and give them a ticket? Sometimes you can see a sign on the road that says over speeding, or if you cross the red light here, you'll be fined $741 or something like that. Have you seen any of those signs? Eh? Something, there's always a one. Yeah. All right. So you see a sign like that. Then when you have stopped, you see someone running the light. And I'm saying, why don't you, based on the fact, why don't you run after them, stop them, and write them a ticket? Get a piece of paper from your car and write them a ticket. And tell them, look, this ticket is for running the light because it's a fact. See, that's when you start to see that it's not only fact that qualifies you to talk about a matter. But there's also authority. Do you understand? There's also authority. There's also whether you qualify. Are you the right person to say what you're saying? Is it helpful to someone this morning? So you see, this is the thing. This is the thing that tricks people. Do you get it? Yeah. See, my father didn't like my mother, you know, and he left my mother, and so on and so forth. Are you the judge of why your father left your mother? Or why your mother left your father, for that matter? You can't be the judge of such an issue. It's out of your class. Do you understand? Yes. My father didn't like me, because if he liked me, he wouldn't have left us. Well, what you don't know is that sometimes, you see, your father likes you, but you are with your mother. and your father and your mother don't get along. Do you understand? Now, the way God has set things up, all children start their lives with their mother. It's just the way God has arranged it. How do we know that? The one who comes with the baby food is the one who's supposed to keep the baby. So if two people get together, make a baby, and then one of them has baby food, that one gets to keep the baby. Does it make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So that if you want to live, you have to be with the one who has your food. Do you understand? Yeah. But then now you have somebody who is your father who likes you very much. Yes. Do you not see a lot of times when you see, have you ever seen any of those talk shows where the paternity tests, you know, they have these guys who are saying, he's not the dad, he's not the dad, and then they have to come, Jerry Springer and Maury, right? And who's the other one, you know? Well, these are the most popular ones. Yes. Do you get it? Then they take some paternity test, you know, they take some paternity test and the test reveals that so-and-so is actually the father at 99 point something something percent. Do you get it? Yeah. And then right there, you one of the common things you hear them say, when if whether they do it or not, I don't know. But they say instantly, well, I'm going to be there for my son. I'm going to be there for my daughter. I'm going, you know, because everybody is designed to like their offspring. Are you getting what I'm saying? God has made it such that everyone has a basic loyalty and a basic love. Do you get it? For what they give birth to. Even cats. Yeah, and dogs. Yeah. That is why if you're obsessed with your children, you know, you should be careful because there's no reward for that in heaven. You're not doing anything special. You get it? You are just being yourself and a lot of it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah? So you see that sometimes the problem is not that your dad doesn't like you. He likes you. But you're with someone he doesn't get along with. Do you get it? And to come towards you is to be with that person because, mind you, you don't talk. You see what I'm saying? You don't talk. He has to just play with your cheeks. That's all he can do. Do you see? The rest of the time, he has to be staring at someone who either he doesn't like or who does not like him. Do you understand what I'm explaining? Right. So that can give birth to your father moving away. Do you see? Yeah. And going away and sometimes being, you know, attracted to other people and doing other stuff and so on and so forth. So all of these things can be in the background, you know, and you won't know it. You just grow up and you find things a certain way. Do you get it? And sometimes based on the rhetoric you've heard, you know, because many times your mother who was left, you know, she goes through life painfully. Do you get it? And when people are in pain, they resent the one who caused the pain, even if she's a nurse. Is it true? Yes. When people are in pain, they don't like the one who causes the pain. So your mother may have gone through pain. She may have gone through suffering and gone through life with difficulty. And, of course, with a lot of resentment for the one who caused it. At least to her. To her, you know. To her, he caused it. And so that resentment often is transferred in little statements, little comments, you know. And you grow up hearing something for so many years, you just believe it. Are you getting it?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, just like anything you grew up hearing, you have believed it.
Yeah.
like your name is Esther. You just believed it. Because that's all you kept hearing. Every day, Esther, 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 Esther. So you grow up responding to Esther. You believe it. So if you keep growing up, or as you're growing up, you keep hearing, you know, things like your stupid dad, your father who did this, your deadbeat dad, look at you. You know, and all your ugly parts actually look like your father. You get it?
It's a good message.
Your big nose like your dad. Your big ears like your dad. Your hair that doesn't grow like your dad. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yeah. So this guy, Moses, he was a preacher. And he had been telling the people that they were not supposed to marry foreign people. Do you understand? And then when it was time for him to get a wife, he went and got exactly what he told. And he told them, listen, you have to do what I say, not do what I do. You see, so Miriam, his sister, you know, and Miriam was Moses' big sister. She actually took care of him when he was a baby. So she felt that, look, no, someone has to say something about this. Yeah, someone has to say something. So she went to see Aaron, who was Moses' older brother. Aaron was older than Moses by, I think it was 3 years, right? Yeah. So it would sound like Moses came maybe after Aaron. I don't know. But anyway, so big sister went to big brother and they said, let's call little brother and talk some sense into him. Because what we have is a fact. For he has married an Ethiopian woman. He has just married, and the woman is Ethiopian. Here's her passport. Here's her passport. It's real. Do you get it? Right. So in verse 2, quickly, verse 2, it says, and they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Has he not spoken also by us? The Bible says, and the Lord heard it. You see, so you have to be careful what you say in your house about someone that God is using. Do you understand? Because he may not hear it. He may not hear it because it's in your house. But God will hear it. Do you see? God will hear it. God will hear it. And when God hears things about his servants, he responds to them. Do you get it? So in verse 3, the Bible says, now the man Moses was very meek above all men which were upon the face of the earth. You see, listen. Are you guys following the message? You know, my time is up. So, but listen, listen, listen. At least I'm going to try. I'm going to try to get over this verse. Do you see that this verse 3 is actually in parenthesis, which means it's background on the side information. It means it's not obvious. They had to tell you this to know it. Are you getting it? Right? Now, so you may not understand why God seems to like Moses in spite of his very obvious and blatant mistake. Do you understand? Which you think is the basis for which you must and qualify to criticize him. This is why I'm saying that there's always more. You need more. You need to know more. You have to be careful because there's always more to the issue and more to the person than you can see or than you have heard. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So look at it. Yeah. Maybe his taste in women is misguided,
yeah.
But his relationship with God is very guided.
Yeah.
Are you getting it?
Yeah.
So God liked Moses. He liked him for his meekness. Do you understand? He liked him for his meekness so much that his marriage to an Ethiopian woman was not such a big deal. Isn't it? Because you can like someone for a reason. Such that other things people find to be a problem, it's not a problem for you. Are you getting what I'm saying? Like you have a chef who cooks real good but can't drive. Do you understand? And other people think it's a problem. I mean, what kind of man is this? He can't drive. He's 46 years old. He doesn't have a driver's license. What's wrong with him? What's he doing in your house or what's he doing in your life? But you know that if it's driving, you'd rather even Uber. It's not a problem. You get it? For what matters to you? The delicious meals he makes, those are gold to you, isn't it? So you keep him, you like him. You like him for those things, you like him, isn't it? So he says the man Moses was very meek, right? And he was meek above all men which were... Look, even including Pastor Charles, he was meek. Moses' meekness... It topped Pastor Charles. Yes. Look at it. Moses, when God was looking on the list of meek people, you know, meek is in the family of humble, malleable, you know, flexible, you know, people you can do things with. People whose plans you can alter, people whose plans you can change, you know, and God likes such people. And God said, honestly, throughout the whole earth, Moses, he just has that quality and he's number one. Do you understand? So when you now want to make a case about his taste in women, you know, that he likes them round, you know, likes them slim and tall. You get he likes them with curly hair. You know, yeah. I mean, you are obnoxious to God. Yeah. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. So God was not happy with them. Are you understanding what I'm saying? God was not happy with them. And then, verse 4, the Bible says, and the Lord spake suddenly to Moses and to Aaron and to Miriam. And he says, come out, ye three, into the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. You know? And then the next verse 5. The Lord came down, you know, in the pillar of the cloud. And stood at the door of the tabernacle. So like God told Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, meet me at Scandia Hall, right? Then they came. Then the three of them were hanging out around here, wondering. Then God came in and he stood at the door there. So there would be no escape. Yeah. Imagine us, we're in the church and the pillar of cloud comes into the church and is at the door. Which way are you going to go out? So then verse 6, he said, God spoke to them. He said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him in a vision and will speak to him in a dream. In other words, the way I deal with prophets in general is that I give them visions and I give them dreams. Do you understand? Yes. Then he says in verse 7, my servant Moses, you know, you call him your brother, but he's my servant. And between me and you, I come first. Do you get it? So he says, my servant Moses, he's not at that level. You get it? And he is faithful in all my house. Do you understand? There is nothing I've asked Moses to do that he hasn't done. There's nothing, you know. That's what I'm saying, that Moses was a very flowing person.
That's right.
When it came to God. And that seemed to matter more to God than anything else. Are you getting what I'm saying? Right. So he says, with him will I speak mouth to mouth. And he says, even apparently, like plainly. Do you get it? And not in dark speeches. That means God never gave Moses a proverb. He never said any of the, the guy in Zechariah 4:6, he says, what do you see? He says, I see a lamp. And he says, what does this mean? And, you know, God said, I never dealt with Moses like that. If I wanted to tell Moses something, I said it plainly to him. So when you look in the Old Testament, you see a lot of, and the Lord spoke to Moses. And the Lord said to Moses. The Lord said to Moses. Because God was just literally that close with Moses. Do you understand? And God said, I never spoke with him in dark speeches. A dark speech is something you don't understand, you know, on the face of it. Do you get it? Yeah, you have to sort of go deeper. And then he says, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant David? My servant Moses, sorry. You know, and then verse 9. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed. Do you see? And then the next verse, and the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous. Do you get it? Yeah. Now, and white as snow, and Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. I'm sure he was just wondering, am I next? You get it? God left the meeting, and when God left the meeting, demons took over and introduced an incurable disease into the life of Miriam for speaking what she considered to be the fact. Do you understand? But the whole point is that she spoke what was true, but it was not her place to say that. Do you understand? And you notice how the Lord, Miriam and Moses spoke against, Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses. And then Miriam becomes leprous and Aaron is left alone. So it sounds like one of them probably qualified to make a comment about that issue. Probably Aaron, because Aaron was actually a priest. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, he was a priest. He was a priest and a senior priest to Moses. You know, Aaron was a priest. Moses was not a priest at all. Moses' last job, secular engagement, he was killing people and running away. You get it? Yeah, before the Lord found Moses, he was a fugitive from justice. He was running away from going to prison because he had killed somebody. You know, so Moses was quite raw when God found him. See, but Aaron, he was a priest, a pastor who was trained in such things. Do you get it? And who probably did qualify maybe to make a comment about what his little brother had done. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Which qualification his sister did not have. Hallelujah. Are you blessed by that point? Are you understanding what I'm sharing with you? Tell your neighbor, you got to watch your mouth. Yes. Amen. There are some things, you see them, they are obvious to you, you just say nothing. Do you understand? You just say nothing. This is not my place. This is not my thing. I don't have to say this. And you can excuse yourself by saying that you don't know all the facts, because that's also true. Do you understand? You don't know all the facts between your mother and your father. You don't know. You don't know all the facts. Do you get it? Even if they were happening right before you, you were such a baby, you didn't understand anything. You don't know the facts. Why would you meddle so confidently in an issue or in something that is so far removed from your even your sense of, you know, recognition and knowing even what was awareness, even just knowing what was happening around you? It was not even there. How do you now become the judge of such a matter? More so when you've only heard from one side.
That's right.
Are you getting what I'm saying? So that you don't like your mother because of something your father told you. Or you don't like your father because of something your mother told you. You have to leave them alone. Are you getting what I'm saying? Leave your father and his girlfriend alone. Amen. Just leave them alone. Tell somebody, leave them alone. Otherwise, problems will come into your life. Do you get it? Look at the problems that Miriam has, you know, encountered. Miriam has encountered a serious problem. And this agrees with that scripture we read before in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It says, neither murmur ye. Do you see? Yeah. Don't complain and don't criticize and don't say these things. Because it opens the door for the destroyer. Hallelujah. Just be humble, be content to be born and raised somehow. You get it? He may not have looked after you, but you were looked after. Do you understand? Yes? And the proof of that is you're here. Amen. She may not have looked after you, but you were looked after. She may not have fed you, but you were fed.
Amen. Thank God.
She may not have helped you with your homework, but someone did. Do you understand? She may not have been there for you, but someone was there for you. You know, and God is like that. When people don't have people, the Bible says he's a father to the fatherless. That's why you need to watch out for people that God is bringing into your life. One of the chapters in the book is a chapter about the types of fathers. Okay, chapter 3 talks about 10 types of fathers. One of them is your father in, of course, the first one is the super father himself, our heavenly father. Next one is your father in Christ. Next one is your spiritual father. And then next one is your father in the ministry. Then the next one is your biological father, right? But after him comes another type of father called your substitute father. This is the father who takes the place of the biological father, the non-performing biological father. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now, I'm saying that you should watch out for people who God brings into your life, introduces into your life to do what the biological father was either not present to do, or even if he was present, because there are some fathers, they are present, but their influence is absent. Do you get it? Have you ever had one of those, you know, the plugging air fresheners and it's finished? Yeah. It's still plugged in. It has the light on, but there's no scent from it. Uh-huh. You get it? That's some fathers like that. Totally plugged in, but no scent. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Yes. So sometimes because of the absence of that scent, God introduces other fathers into your life. Do you get it? Yeah. And you should be careful not to make the mistake. And thank you for your testimony today, because she was showing us, like, you know, God was bringing somebody into her life and she didn't even understand why she didn't like him. I just didn't like him. But you see that God is introducing love God is introducing strength. God is introducing authority. You know, especially if you're a lady, you're going to learn from your father how to be under authority, how to have someone else sort of shape your life. Because that's what happens to most ladies anyway. Do you understand? Yes. Because if it's in your plan to get married, then you're going to have a husband. When a man and a woman get together and the arrangement is marriage, then the man gets to be the head according to the Bible. You get, and the woman gets to be the one that's not the head. Okay. Yeah, she gets to be the not the head. Okay, my wife says the rest of the body. You get it? Yeah, that's it. Now, all heads everywhere, whether they are head of department, head of government, head of state, head usher, do you get it? Head chef, all heads are the decision makers. All heads determine what happens around wherever they are head. Do you get it? So if you have a problem with responding to the head because you have not grown up with one or have not learned how to be under one, you find out that your default setting is to rebel against headship. Do you understand? Which is cardinal in a marriage situation, because you can't have two mouths running at the same time all the time. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah. I mean, God, it's just wisdom. You can see people have two hands, two eyes, and there are some things. It's okay to have two, but head, you can only have one. do you get it? Yeah. I mean, God doesn't mind you have a left hand and you have a right hand. You have a thumb here, you have another thumb here. You have some fingers here, you have spare fingers here, extra fingers. You have one leg, you have another one. You know, even the eyes on the head, you get to have left and right. Hey, teeth, you can have as many as what, 32? Yeah, I mean, you choose. You can have as many of them as you want. But head, one. Ears, two. Nose, nostrils, two. You can have. Head, one. You get it? So if you're going to have a marital situation that is progressive, that will work, you're going to have one person that is recognized as the head. Do you understand? And that one person is the husband, according to the Bible. That is, if you live your life according to the Bible. If you live your life according to theories of men, maybe writings of New York Times, Washington Post, you know, all these things that even our president knows they are fake. You get it? So if your life is driven by Washington Post and so on, then that's up to you. Do you get it? But if you're going to do anything out of the Word of God, you're going to have to flow with His plan. And His plan is that there will be one head. Are you getting what I'm saying? So this thing of living under authority is important. It's important also for guys. It's important for you to know what it means for someone to tell you what to do. Not to grow up as a rebel. Do what you like. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Every man needs someone who can rein in his natural rebellious instincts. You need someone like a horse. You need someone who can put a bridle around you and then pull you back and say, stop. Because if you can move, the next important thing is that you can stop. If you can move, but you can't stop, you are dangerous. One brother was telling me the other day, he said, I don't know what's going on with my car. He said, when I stop, it doesn't stop. He said, you know what it means? It means your car is disqualified from moving. Yeah. Wow. The qualification for moving is the ability also to stop. So if no one can tell you what to do, if no one can tell you when to wake up, if no one can tell you what to do, clean your room, do this, don't do this, don't do this, and every kind of thing, you rebel, you make a face, you know.
Hey! What a face.
You get it, yes? Now, that kind of behavior can be costly. Do you understand? It is dangerous for you. It's dangerous for your future. It's dangerous even for your looks. You see, one day you see that someone may not want to marry you because your mouth is... Are you hearing what I'm saying? Anyway, I think we should stop here because of the time. I'll continue next time. So you come to church and stand to your feet and we'll continue. All right? All right. Yeah. Amen. So close your eyes with me, everybody, and let's pray. Just, I want you to pray for yourself and say, Lord, thank you for the fathers you have placed in my life. Thank you for the wisdom of God, the word of God. Pray, everybody, just pray. And ask the Lord. Some of you may not even know why you're hearing a message like this today. But maybe God is trying to reach you in some way. And God is trying to fix something that is broken in your life. God is trying to get to you and God is trying to help you. Yes. God is trying to help you. In the name of Jesus. Makabolo shatali alababayan sheketeri alababayan ikolo setele melebebelebe kendari amalababayan ikolo shetele mesatala babarabala babalabala mashabala babama ikolo setele mekandari alababu shenele balababu seketeya. In the name of Jesus, I want you to pray against any problem that you have inherited from your parents. Any problem you notice in your parents and notice also in yourself, I want you to pray against it and say, Lord, maybe I have inherited this because of the way I've spoken, because of my ignorance and my foolishness and my lack of knowledge. Lord, please take this away from me in the name of Jesus. Begin to pray. Makabolo shatala baba. Imolo setele babo, imolo shata, ikalama lama masandari alaba balaba setele mekandari alaba babi, bikolo setele mamo shaka talia, bilo neri alama mo setari alaba babi, ilo shenderi alaba balama sakataria, ikana alaba balama bo setele bele bebe, imala mamo shenderi alaba boru shata alaba alaba babi. Ikala baba laba bolu shandari ala baba laba ba emolo shetele deri ala baba emala baba lama musandari ala baba laba shandaria ikala nde seteri ala baba laba bala bo shandaria emala mosekeri bele 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 bo shandari ala baba. In the name of Jesus, take it away in Jesus' name. Pray against demons and evil spirits and forces that have had access to your life because of the way your attitude has been, because of the way you have spoken, in the name of Jesus. Makabolo shatala bala papaya, imolo shatali meseteri ala bakanaria. In the name of Jesus, mikolo shederi ala papaya malababa. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. You know, I want you to pray against evil spirits and evil influences that have had access to your life. They've had access to your life because you opened the door in ignorance. You know, you don't have to know something to be affected by it in an adverse way. Sometimes your ignorance itself is the problem. If you didn't know who was behind the door and you opened the door, you would still let an armed robber into your house. Because you let him in. You opened the door and he came in. So I want you to pray against evil spirits that have invaded your life, invaded your family, invaded your marriage, invaded your whole life, and are trying to fight against you and are chewing up the blessings of God because of what you didn't know, in the name of Jesus. Pray against those spirits and say, I know you now. I recognize you now. I understand how I've come to be where I am. And I bind you. I throw you out of my life in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, oh God, we bind every devil, we bind every spirit, we bind every influence. We plead the blood of Jesus. We plead the blood of Jesus. Mashabala kataria la mashataria. Idolo shene mele mele bebe. Ikalababa shenderia la baba. Ikalamama. Bishenderia. Listara malababa. Malusta mala. Shende. Basto kandeli malamama. Idolo shataria la baba. In the name of Jesus. Any devil that has access to my life, that has access to my life, that has access to my life because of things that I've spoken, because of spiritual sins and errors that I have made, I bind them in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus all over my life, in the name of Jesus, over my life, over my family, over my children, over my church members, in the name of Jesus. May Shakabalaba Sataria Lavakai, Idolo Shekefere Malababa, Bikolo Satalababaha, in the name of Jesus, Mikalababalababaha, Ibolo Shatabalababaha, Ikolo Sandaria Lababa, let the blood of Jesus, let the blood of Jesus intervene, let the blood of Jesus speak for me, let the blood of Jesus step in on my behalf, in the name of Jesus. Makabolo Sheteria, Le Sheteria Lababa, Imbolo Sataria, Mekolo Sataria Lababa, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. What can wash away my sin? Oh, nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? What can make me whole again? Oh, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow. nothing but the blood, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now, as we bring this service to a close this afternoon, maybe you're here today. You know in your heart that you are not born again. You know in your heart that your sins are not forgiven. You know in your heart that if you were to die today, you are not sure that you would go to heaven. I mean, you know yourself. And today is a good day to be sure about your eternal destiny, which could begin any day. Your eternal destiny could begin any day. And that destiny is determined by what you do with Jesus Christ. So if you're here today, or you're watching us on the internet, or listening to us on the podcast, but you know in your heart that you're not saved, you're not born again. Perhaps even a clue is that you don't even understand what it means to be born again. That is probably one of the surest signs that you are not born again. But Jesus said, except a person is born again, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That means you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. It means you cannot experience here on earth the things God has for you. And beyond this earth, you cannot go to heaven, simply put. And I want to give you that opportunity to be saved today. Saved today. You know, just as people's crimes take them to prison, our sins will take us to hell. But Jesus died to neutralize the effect of our sins on our lives. Jesus is our advocate. Jesus is our lawyer who is arguing for us. And Jesus is speaking on our behalf. But you have to engage that lawyer. You have to hire him. You have to engage Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. And he will speak for you. And he will stand between your sin and hell and deliver you from that place. So here is the opportunity. If you're here this afternoon and what I'm saying makes sense to you or applies to you, I want you to raise up your right hand and I'll pray with you. Just right where you are, just raise up your right hand. I'll pray with you. Just raise up your right hand. Just God bless you. Anybody else you want to lift up that hand? Because I want to pray for you in the name of Jesus. I want to help you to be sure that you have made a commitment to Jesus. Jesus is your friend. Jesus is not against you. Jesus wants to help you. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Now I want you to say this prayer with me. Everybody just join me as we say this prayer. If you're online, just join as we say this prayer. If your hand is up, just keep it up, because I want us to say this prayer with meaning. Say with me, Lord Jesus. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for dying for me. I believe with my heart that you are Lord. And I confess with my mouth that God raised you from the dead. I know you died in my place. You took my sin and my shame upon you. Everything I deserved was placed upon you. So, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. Please come into my heart, Lord. I receive you as my Lord. I receive you as my personal Savior. I want to have a relationship with you from today. I want to have a meaningful relationship with you today. Lord Jesus, take my life. Change me, Lord. Be Lord over this life. Thank you, Jesus. Please write my name in your book of life. Say, Lord Jesus, my name is, and mention your name. Please write this name in your book of life. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together for the Lord. Amen. Now, we want to come to the Lord's table. Yes. We want to have communion today. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Sing it again. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Sing salvation in the blood. Salvation through the blood of Jesus. Oh, salvation through the blood of Jesus. Salvation through the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Healing in the blood of Jesus. Come on. Healing in the blood of Jesus. Oh, healing in the blood. It washes, it washes white. Oh, it washes white as snow. Hallelujah. I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter 3 and verse 26. Acts chapter 3. And verse 26. The Bible says, unto you first, God, having raised